on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
This is the latest government update about coronavirus COVID-19. We are now moving into the next phase in the fight against coronavirus. To reduce the risk of a second peak, it is vital we adhere to the following rules. You must stay at home as much as possible and continue to work from home if you can. Anyone who can't work from home is permitted to go back to work, avoiding the use of public transport where possible. Continue to limit your contact with other people, maintain social distancing, and wash your hands regularly. You are now permitted to take unlimited amounts of exercise with members of your household only. You may also drive to locations to take your exercise. The virus is still active. If you or someone you live with has a high temperature or develops a new continuous cough, stay at home and self-isolate. For medical advice and to check if you have symptoms, use the online NHS coronavirus service at nhs.uk. Only call 111 if you cannot get help online. For coronavirus guidance and support, visit gov.uk. These measures may be tightened should infection rates rise again. Stay alert, control the virus, save lives.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Happiness to be found even in the darkest of times.
That system probably contains a new data encryption algorithm. You'll never get in there.
Welcome to another edition of The Happiness Algorithm with me, James Roast, the show that discusses all things mental health, emotional well-being, and what we can do to make us that little bit happier. Now, on today's show, I'm joined by somebody who epitomizes strength, courage, and determination. After spending 5 years in hospital, my guest now uplifts audiences, fans, and followers across the globe. She believes that we all have a unique and significant purpose to help each other and make people happier in this world. Whilst recovering from a critical illness, she discovered that her talent for singing could uplift, heal, and bring out the best in people. Since then, she's committed her life to giving people joy through music and entertainment. She's appeared in Las Vegas, London, and performed in many high-profile events across the world. More recently, performing for Saudi Arabian royalty, the Prime Minister of Lebanon, Jimmy Osmond, Kaiser Chiefs. She shared a mic with Ed Sheeran, Peter Andre, Claire Sweeney, and McFly, no less. My guest wants people to realize that every one of us on this planet today is significant, and that we should treat each other with the kindness, gratitude, and love that we all deserve. Please welcome to the show, Miss Gemma Louise Doyle. Gemma, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, thank you. Hi everybody.
It's a real honor to have you on the show, Gemma. For those that for the Happiness Algorithm listeners that maybe haven't come across your music or see you perform before, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and enlighten the listeners, please.
So, hi everyone. I am a professional singer. I've been a singer now for 11 years, and I have, like James kindly said, I've done 2,500 shows around the world and found my passion for singing and my love of music changed my life and could help change other people as well. And I believe music's very powerful.
And music is at your heart. It's very important to you, and equally sort of emotional well-being and mental health is too. So tell me a little bit about your relationship with mental health and emotional well-being.
So when I was a teenager, I'm actually 28 now, from the age of about 12, 13. A lot of challenges came into my life at that time, and I found that the way that I ended up dealing with it, I did quite quickly come quite depressed, and I also started becoming quite obsessed with healthy eating and quickly ended up in a hospital fighting for my life. I was 4 stone and ended up spending about 5 years of my life in and out of that challenging time. But it was there that when I was stuck on a bed for 9 weeks and I was not really allowed to do very much and I was in very critical care, that my singing was something that helped me get through it. And also I started receiving messages from the patients around the hospital, and I noticed the staff come alive with my singing, and it was just this magic feeling, and it kind of clicked together. And then when I was better and I was able to leave from about the age of 17, 18, I went out into the public for the first time, and I had built up my confidence to step out on stage, and I saw that other people would come alive with my singing and the music as well. And so ever since then, I've committed all of my life to sharing this positive message around and sharing my music and my lyrics with people of all kinds.
And that sort of love of music that was there before those difficult teenage adolescent years?
Oh yeah, definitely. It was something that ever since I could talk, singing was always my favorite thing to do. And I remember I've seen a photograph of being just a baby, and my dad's got headphones on me. And when I was 3 years old, he recalls that I came back from the bathroom when we were in a big shopping mall one time and heard this voice who we recognized singing on stage. And I, at 3 years of age, had run up and asked the lady to let me sing, and I'm there singing "You Are My Sunshine." And age 7, I remember I was thinking I was going to be a pop star, but it was through that adversity and that challenging time in life that I found that my singing could be a purpose in life and a reason, and it could make a difference, because I believe very much so that every person in the world does have a very significant purpose and a reason for being here, because we all have very unique individual talents and abilities that can help change each other's lives in some way.
And had you realized that at the time, or was it through that time of difficulty and crisis? Was it only then, when you was beginning to see the effect your voice and your ability had on others, that it then really sort of added the value to you?
Yeah, that's right. That is right. Because I find the most rewarding feeling in life is when you can make a difference to other people. And I don't ever remember a time really where my singing really affected other people until that point. It wasn't something that I recognized within me. I was always too shy, you see. I wouldn't perform or sing in front of anybody. But when I was in that hospital environment, I had no privacy at all. So if I wanted to do anything, including singing, I had to do it in front of people. So I guess that's where it came from, really.
And it's pleasing to hear that even in those difficult periods, it remained a true sort of confidant and friend. It was still very much intrinsic and so important to you in such times of crisis.
Yeah, music is really powerful. It can really help a lot of people in different ways. It changes our moods and environment. A few people I've heard have difficult childhoods in their family life, and I've heard that, you know, they can just tune into music so that they don't have to listen to it, or they can be in a bad place mentally and all of a sudden they hear somebody singing about something which is recognizable to them, the same emotions or it could be a happy song that gets them out of it. And I think music is really powerful. It can have lots of effects on everyone in different ways.
Mm. I read once that it was when we're happy, we generally tend to hear the melody of a song, and when we're sad, we really connect with the lyrics.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
Do you feel, having been through, and we will touch on this later in the show, what you went through during those difficult adolescent years and that hospital admission, do you feel that it's influenced your writing at all?
A lot of what I write about is what I find gives me strength now, and what I've discovered through watching lots of YouTube videos and reading books and my own intuition. I believe that we all have a really powerful sixth sense, whether that is our instinct, our gut instinct, or our ability to manifest things into our lives, and what we think and our feelings. I believe that they really create what happens in our lives, and we kind of are the film director, and we are responsible for our own happiness and our own experiences in life as well, through what we think and feel.
And do you think that everybody connects with that, or at times do you feel that we can be lost in the busyness of the world and forget that we actually do have a greater sense of control than perhaps we realize?
Yeah, I think it's different for everybody, and if you are exposed to the news and the media and a materialistic life, everybody tends to get into, or a lot of the general public tend to get into, the rut of copying everyone else and believing that you have to follow the normal as it be, and you have to do what your parents want you to do in life, or you have to go to school, get a job, get married, do a 9-to-5 job that you don't really like, but you have to earn the money to afford the things that you need in life. And so, yeah, I think being exposed to that can cut us off. I think sometimes when you're on your own, if you find a way through maybe meditation or music or something like art, painting or exercise and things, they can all have a different effect and help us to connect with who we really are inside and that power within everybody, every one of us.
And is that an important message to a lot of your followers and fans when you are sort of engaging with them, that the transparency and the authenticity of ourself is crucial for our happiness?
Yeah, I think it's very profound and important in all that we do, because you need to, I really want everybody to be the best version of themselves in life. And I know a lot of listeners are going through challenging times themselves. So I think it's very important that we do connect with that ability that we all have as a human species. Everybody that's alive in the world and even animals do have something special within us, I believe. And I think that anything is possible because we live in an infinite universe that we don't know very much about. And I think, yeah, it's very important for your own well-being, but also because it determines the life that you live now and in the future as well.
Mm. So if we may, could we visit and explore some of those difficulties during those adolescent years, and what was particularly hard for you, and what led to that hospital stay?
So there was quite a few tough challenges in my family life. I had lovely parents, but unfortunately there was quite a few deaths around the age when I was about 12, 13. My best friend was taken out of my life as well. And there was some issues between my brother. And the main thing that was the sort of the trigger for me was I had a close group of girlfriends at high school. There was about six of us, and all of a sudden my boyfriend at the time broke up from me and didn't give me any reason why. A few weeks later, I was discussing this situation with one of my best friends and another girl that was in our group. And I remember the other girl shouting in my face, "Don't you realise that Steph's been going out with him?" And I at that point was told that one of my best friends had been secretly talking with my boyfriend at the time on the internet, and they were actually now pursuing a relationship together. And so that all of a sudden lost all of the confidence in me and my self-esteem, and I believed that I wasn't good enough for him and I wasn't good enough in general. And so I started trying to be prettier and healthier and a better version of myself. I was very studious, but I was getting a little bit more attention from people at school because I was looking a certain way. And so I became obsessed with it, and all of a sudden it spiraled out of control. And I found myself in a specialist hospital. I was in a general hospital, and then I was transferred to a mental health unit for eating disorders, and very much restricted and away from my family, two hours drive away, over 100 miles away from my family and friends. And that was what I ended up in, found myself in that situation.
And a situation that sounds as though it escalated quite quickly.
Yeah, very, very quickly got out of control. I think that happens with depression and different mental health problems.
And if I may, because I think that there will be, it's really interesting to sort of listening to the story, because, you know, some would kind of say, well, you know, you're young, a teenager, you know, it's boyfriend, girlfriend. But for me, the texture or the layers that sit underneath this is the emotional content, because what we're experiencing, no matter what age it is, it is subjective to the individual, and that's the bit that causes the reaction, you know, the sort of process thereafter. And I suppose what I wanted to sort of drill down a little bit more on is, can you remember, you know, when you go through that difficult situation with your boyfriend at the time and your friend and a small group of friends, and what the emotions were and what you were feeling?
I just remember extreme sadness that I haven't really felt for so many years now. Like I said, losing so much self-esteem and not having any confidence in myself and feeling like I wasn't good enough for the world or to be accepted or something. But what I have discovered is that the way people treat us and the way that they act towards us is actually their own problem and their own responsibility. I feel that we're all responsible for our own happiness. And if somebody is cruel towards you, for example, if children are being bullied, which is something which kind of happened to me at primary school as well at an earlier age, which probably contributed to me not feeling good enough eventually at high school. It's that child, that person in themselves, if they're being abusive towards other people, then they've got their own challenges. They're not happy in themselves. And the person who's being targeted should not feel, you know, that there's something wrong with them, because it's actually the other person that's taking it out on them that has the problem. And we have to focus on our own self and our own strengths and remember how amazing we are as people. We're very incredible in the things that we can do and we can create in our lives.
Well, I mean, really well said. And I think I have to sort of agree with that a lot of the time when we're, you know, when people are, you know, if there's a form of bullying or people are being particularly horrible, generally there's a projection from themselves, you know, an inability to manage the dis discomfort or the internal disruption that they're experiencing. Not that that condones it or makes it right in any way, but for the individual, as you say, that is going through that, on the receiving end of that, it's really important that they can engage in that strength and that sense of self. You know, for many that are on the receiving end of similar situations like what you've been through, and loss of best friends, etc., how do we, you know, if you was to go back and speak to that younger self, what would you be saying, and how would you look to change that for somebody?
I think there's a few things here. So a lot of young girls feel that they have to look a certain way or act a certain way in life, and people, boys and girls, might be told by the parents to follow a particular career path or etc., or even their teachers. I remember, for example, going off on a tangent a minute, when I was actually in hospital, I took my GCSEs and I got straight A's, even though I was really poorly. And so the teacher said, well, what do you want to do when you leave high school? What do you want to do as a career? And I said, well, I really love to be a singer or do something in music. And they quite quickly advised that I went to university and studied, or college, and studied different subjects, because it's more, apparently it's going to be safer to do that. But I feel that really we all have a reason for being here in our life, and our own passions and hobbies and skills are the reason that we can contribute to the world and make a difference to different people's lives. I've certainly managed to make a successful career so far out of what I do. But going back to the question, I think that girls, you're all beautiful in your own way, in your own self, and whether that be, you know, through your personality, and there are so many people in this world that will really, really love you, even if you don't love yourself at times or you don't feel loved. There are people that really do care about you very much, and they might have different ways of showing it sometimes as well. But yeah, I think you have to kind of learn in life that all you really need is yourself. Different people react to relationships in different ways, but we can, the hard matter of fact is that there is a chance that you might lose everybody. You know, we're all going to die at some point in this lifetime, and all that you really need is yourself. Anything could happen on the planet at any time, but we can find new friendships, and it's about choosing the correct ones and choosing the people that make you feel good about yourself. And you can find new family if you really need to in certain cases as well.
And it's the value that the individual adds to our existence, isn't it? And I suppose such a tricky time. I mean, adolescence for anybody is a really tricky period of development, you know, one that I would never go back and do again. But you know, we all come through it, some better than others, but essentially it's a really difficult time. And I suppose, you know, a big part of that adolescent period is we're moving from the stage of childhood where we're responding to the environment that parents or primary caregivers set for us, and we're quite responsive to that, and now we're embarking into a world where it becomes about us and what is our sense of identity. So it leaves us in this really precarious and vulnerable position. So the sort of the respect or the attention the world gives us in some way is of greater value, because the love that comes from home, say from parents or primary caregivers, is almost money in the bank. So now it's that sense of acceptance from the outside world. And so when you look at that period that you went through in adolescence, and you know, beginning to sort of understand the world and develop that sense of identity, to go through what you went through, some may see it as trivial, but from an emotional perspective, it does tend to cut deep. And then obviously what we're going to look to do is exhibit or to employ various coping mechanisms to rebalance our sort of emotions, as it were.
Yeah, I think it's a tricky time for everybody, isn't it? And everybody deals with it in different ways, but you have to be positive and focus on what you want in life and your ambitions.
What really tickled me was the fact, like you said before, we're often quite conditioned by our environment, and you know, getting those straight A's whilst being in hospital, which is an amazing achievement, might I add. But I just didn't want to interject while you was talking. What a phenomenal achievement! Everything that you was going through to still achieve those results, fantastic. But how interesting, the teacher then says, you know, you've got these grades, you should go off to university, but that fire was still burning brightly to pursue that career in music.
Yeah, it was quite powerful feeling and seeing how music, my singing, can make a difference to people. Like watching, for example, I started going and doing some talent competitions and karaoke competitions and different things, and I was winning quite a lot of them, and people were starting to ask me if I was a professional singer or if I would perform for a golf club or a birthday event or a wedding. And of course it was very fast and exciting, and so this feeling that I initially experienced in the hospital of making a difference to people, I was then seeing people come back from, you know, on a Friday night or a Saturday from a job they hated and seeing them in a pub, and then my singing like would suddenly spark an energy inside of them, or seeing, you know, a bride and on a first dance, and suddenly there's just an extra special atmosphere that my singing can give to everybody. And it's really amazing to, so once you find that thing, you just have to follow it to the rest of your life, really, and because that is the thing, the special gift that you can add to the world.
Well, I think we should not keep the listeners waiting any longer, and we should hear one of your songs, because as the listeners know, a big part of the Happiness Algorithm is my guests choosing particular songs that add to the narrative of their journey. But I'm pleased to say that I could not have Gemma on the show without playing some of her music, and we'll kick things off with your first song, which is Reason, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Reason and the process behind it and the meaning. So I'm James Rose, this is the Happiness Algorithm. My special guest today is Gemma Louise Doyle, and this is her, not her first song choice, but her song Reason.
You make me strong, no longer. Phoenix FM.
Welcome back to the Happiness Algorithm with me, James Rose. That was the amazing voice of Gemma Louise Doyle, who is my special guest here today on the Happiness Algorithm. Gemma, what a voice you have.
Thank you so much, James.
An incredible voice and an amazing song as well.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about that. That was Reason.
Yeah, so Reason is the first song which I released onto the iTunes and via digital distribution, so like on Spotify and all Amazon Music and everything. And it was a song which I wrote with someone who is now one of my closest friends, who I he has a music venue in London. He was former member of the band Iron Maiden, and also he was a member of Cutting Crew. If anybody remembers, they had a hit with I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight. So Tony is a fantastic musician and a great songwriter, and I became very good friends with him, partly through my trip to Las Vegas. Somebody actually connected us there and recommended him to me, but I'd also emailed his music venue in London to try and get a book to perform there earlier on. So I went down to meet him, and we've been very good friends for a few years now. So Tony and I decided to write this song Reason together, based upon my story and my experience of being hospital and finding a strength within me to overcome that. So Reason is kind of the music, and it's also my fans, and it's also that power, that sixth sense that we have inside of us. That's what I'm sort of singing about there. And also might be interested is I wanted to get the song into the iTunes charts, which is something that Tony suggested I do. And I found through that time that you have to invest 20 odd thousand pounds into a radio promoter, and you have to do this, that and the other, and be signed to a major record label in order to get into the charts. But little old me was very determined to find a way, and I did, and I worked at it, and my fans kindly supported my music and did go on and pre-order the song from iTunes. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, I was sat there on the release day and saw my song Reason pop up with my name into the iTunes charts alongside the Arctic Monkeys and Evanescence and Oasis were in the charts that time when that came out. So I was very, very happy with that achievement.
Well, what an amazing achievement, and all through grit and determination and hard work to get there.
Absolutely, that's what it takes.
And on that, I suppose that it is about, I think often, you know, when we think about a sense of happiness, we think about a sense of equilibrium and balance in our life. It doesn't come easy, does it? It is about effort and, you know, putting in the time, not only to achieve successes, to make sure that we're protecting what's important to us.
Yeah, I think people need to have aspirations in life. When you're sort of a teenager, you need to think about what you want to achieve and believe in yourself and work towards that. When you're an adult, you have to set goals for yourself in order to keep feeling like we're moving forwards in life. Otherwise, it's not exciting, is it? You have to always, you know, have aspirations and work towards those and believe in yourself in order to achieve that and move forward in life. That's what it's all about, I think.
And even with the success that you've had to date so far, you're still setting yourself goals. You're still looking to the future, to more things that you want to go on to achieve.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very ambitious. I would love... Well, the social media platforms are changing all the time now. So when I thought I had it figured out, and I need to release a video on YouTube every week, and then all of a sudden Instagram came into the world, and Facebook changes every day, pretty much, it seems. And so I'm trying to find ways to connect with new fans and influence people's lives through music and through this positive message that I've discovered. And you know, it's about being a business lady as well as a music artist. It's most of my time I don't spend creating music. A lot of my time I spend networking with people and finding clients so I can go and perform and things for events and different celebrations and etc. So yeah, it's something that keeps me very busy, and I would love to really make as much difference to as many people's lives around the world as possible whilst I'm here in this lifetime.
Mm. And on the subject of social media and this ever-changing world in which we live in, how much do you feel it's important to maintain your sort of the essence of your true integrity, your musicality, what you stand for? Because, you know, obviously it's not a world I know particularly well, and certainly social media, I have a love-hate relationship with it. But we see, you know, with the individuals that I'm working with, the patients, the children, the kids, the adolescents that I'm working with as well, it can be a very, very difficult environment. Like you touched on earlier, there's this expectation of the world sometimes that we have to be something. And so moving into the industry in the way that you did, how important was it for you to remain you?
Well, I'll tell you a little challenge that I kind of keep to myself a bit. There's a lot of influencers that say in order to be successful on social media and to build the numbers, then you need to be posting 3 times a day, and now there's stories, so you've got to be doing the stories as well. And you know, everyone has different opinions about what should be on social media and where, and people posting pictures of the dinners or cats or dogs and animals not being looked after properly and all sorts. And I feel that, you know, Instagram recently changed the ability to see how many people had liked to post, because it was affecting people's mental health. I think that's kind of good that they've done that, but it's not really enough, really, because well, I'll tell you for myself, I only really want to share things when I've got inspiration to share something that I feel the world needs to hear. Like if I've got a strong feeling, if I've been meditating or if I've been recording music or something, and I either want to share, this is my new music I've been working on, this is a project for my fans to enjoy, or I've learned this new song and I love, like people might get some enjoyment out of it because it's a popular love song, for example. Or if I have this message and I feel, yeah, that's right, that's what life's about, or that is something that will help people in life, then I want to go and write this inspirational post and the text and get it out there, rather than just feeling, oh, it's 11 o'clock, I should post something, or, you know, I've not put anything out today, so what can I put out? So you go and people go, oh, you're a singer, go and take 20 pictures around the house, and then the next 3 days put them out there. But it doesn't interest me, because I don't want to put photos of myself, oh, I've made a coffee today and I'm gonna have this for my dinner, and it's how is that benefiting other people's lives, apart from, you know, if they're wasting time on. I'd rather somebody go onto Instagram because they're bored or they've got a lunch break or something, and actually read something that really resonates with them and actually inspires them and makes a difference to their life. So I'm not really good at building my numbers, really, because I'm not doing the things that the textbook says you have to do. I tend to do what I believe is right and share what I feel is actually beneficial to people in their lives.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree with that more. And I think that, you know, it's interesting. I've had previous guests on the show who have been influencers or who have been, you know, had mass followings, and they've spoken about the transition from, you know, having these high numbers and, you know, being caught up in the data and the likes, and how they reached this point where they realized that the true value was actually right in front of them. It might be their family or friends or, you know, just the real life. And to move from from being compelled to post all the time and feeling as though they had to then moving back into this position where they regained a sense of control and posted as and when they wanted to. Then it connected with the point that you're making, that it's all about, it then becomes us, what we're sharing, what's important to us, what's adding value, so that when we're stopping and we're having that coffee or whatever it may be, we can read something that is inspirational. And it is quite empowering then to take that. And that's when I suppose social media is a really, really positive platform.
To be able to share something of value in the world, yeah.
Mm. So, Gemma, if we could, I suppose looking at the specifics around, as I say, jumping back to that adolescent period again, and food and the restriction of food being the coping mechanism, where did that come from, and what was it that, why was there a decision around choosing food as a coping mechanism? Did it just escalate out of wanting to eat healthy, or was there other components that went with it?
One of the strongest things that I always remember is blaming my situation on the media, on television. Like, I started watching, I'd rather not mention a name, but there was a lady who had a program, who was a nutritionist, and she was obsessed with eating raw and eating less fat, less sugar. So I was thinking, okay, so there were actually, I should mention that out of the group of girls that I spoke about earlier, there was six best friends, three of them already had eating disorders. And I used to look at them feeling sorry, thinking they were silly, and I would just eat what I liked. But, you know, one of the girls who did take my boyfriend away from me, she did have problems with eating, and she was, in my eyes at the time, she was a lot slimmer than me, and she was wearing makeup and things. So that's probably why I felt that I had to do that in order to be good enough and to be accepted and to be liked. So I was coming home from school and watching this. And also I used to pick up my mum's awful ladies' magazines that have one page will have the starvation diet, practically, where they recommend you have like 1,000 calories a day, which is ridiculous. It's not enough to live and be healthy on. And then the next page is how to make a wonderful chocolate cake. So they're really bad magazines, but that was kind of the exposure that I had. And as a young adolescent, you're trying to figure out your way in life, and also to have these things happen to trigger me. That's where my obsession with food came from, really, because by restricting the sugar and the fats, then I was starting to be slimmer and prettier, I thought at the beginning. Mm. And so that's where it just became, because I am such a determined and quite a disciplined person, I became obsessed with it, and that was my control and my way, because it was working. When you find something works, you keep doing it, don't you?
Yeah, and I suppose expanding on that, the working aspect, it was working in a way that I suppose was quite short-term. In a world or in a period of time that emotionally we was feeling a little bit out of control with regards to what was going on, to then see something that then gave
us a way of gaining control, isn't it?
Yeah.
For example, like if I can't control other people, I can't control my best friend going with this guy, and you can't control your parents and your family being cruel towards you. But then if you can control what you put inside your body, can't you? So I guess that's why people might have alcohol or drug or eating disorder, addictions and things like that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, to get, you know, not making light of the situation, but certainly to get down to 4 stone. I mean, that's, I've spoken to parents in the past that of similar individuals and children that have gone down similar journeys. And there is that drive and determination that you mentioned before, and we touched on with the music and the success that you made with your first single, and that it even shows there to be able to take our body to that point. And often with patients that I've worked with in the past, we've said about, you know, if we can just alter that drive and determination to go in the other direction or to be focused on something more positively and healthy, then, you know, the world is the individual's oyster, and you're certainly proof of that. And, you know, not that you would want anyone to go through what you've went through, but you're certainly using those intrinsic characteristics for, you know, to add that value to your life now.
Yeah. And I feel everybody should recognize that, because we're all, like we've said before, you and I, James, that we're not going to live forever. It's a fact of life at the moment, unless they suddenly invent something that's going to keep us all alive and stop us from getting older in this era. But I feel that something that is very easy to forget is every day is very precious. You don't know what's going to happen, and the people around us are very precious as well, because you can't control how long they're going to be here. So we have to really find ways to make the use of our life here on Earth and how long we are here and our values, and really go all at that and help other people through it.
Do you find that, obviously, because you're very well travelled, you've performed across the world, do you find that your audiences are different in terms of the receptiveness with your sort of spirituality, your sense of presence, and the message that you preach through your music? Do you find that different cultures and countries receive it differently?
To be honest with you, in the 11 years that I've been a singer and I've done 2,500 shows, the majority of these, more than 95%, have been cover music of different genres. So the honest answer is I will perform power ballads, rock, Motown, jazz, some dance music, some party songs, and a couple of classical crossover songs, opera, literally everything, which is quite rare. Not a lot of people do all that different genres, but because I like to connect with everybody, music, everyone has different tastes, and some people only want to listen to a certain style of music. They're not open to how they might feel or connect with different music. But one thing that I've found is always the same is whether I go and sing for teenagers in a nightclub or a bar, a classy place, or I go and perform for royalty or famous celebrities or, owners of massive wealth, billionaires, companies that they have all around the world. Everybody, when I feel that energy, everybody connects to it in exactly the same way. And this is something that's been so amazing and powerful to me, is to find that everybody is exactly the same. We're all in the world. We all have that power inside of us, and we're all the same in terms of energy. I don't know how people will react so much to my spiritual side, but everybody certainly listens to me once they've heard me sing, because they've already felt the energy. And then what I'm talking about just already makes sense, because they've already felt it from my singing. My parents, for example, not spiritual whatsoever. My mum was born a Catholic, that's fine. Doesn't really practice it now. My dad's an atheist, so he doesn't believe in God or anything. But they still love me and accept me as I am. And I don't disagree with any religion. I don't disagree with people who don't have religion. But what I do believe and feel and know from my experience is that we're all connected, and we all have this powerful, beautiful, loving energy inside of us, and that we should all share that with each other.
Mm, And your music is unlocking that for so many. And I think that we should, on that note, we should go to your second track, actually. And this one is called the, where let's pull this up. So this is The Stars Are With Us. So stay with us here on The Happiness Algorithm. I'm James Roast. I'm joined by my very special guest, Gemma Louise Doyle. And this is her second track, The Stars Are With Us.
It's true. Phoenix FM.
Welcome back to the Happiness Algorithm with me, James Rose. That was The Stars Are With Us, sung by my very special guest, Gemma Louise Doyle. Gemma, another amazing song there.
Thank you very much indeed.
So The Stars Are With Us, that was on, was that on last year's album, See the Light?
Actually, See the Light is my new album, which is just about ready to be released. Stars Are With Us was released, I think it was 2018.
And so tell us a little bit about that song and the sort of meaning behind it.
So Stars Are With Us is very much a message from my heart about how I believe we're all connected to the universe and to some external power which is inside of us, and it's all inside of everyone, and we're all connected to each other. And the lyrics are kind of saying the stars are always there. We can only see them when, you know, when it's a clear night sky. But the fact is that this energy is always inside of us, even though we can only see it when we have a clear mind.
A beautiful song, an absolutely beautiful song. The one thing I wanted to ask you about and actually share with the listeners is something that I know we'd touched on off air, and it was an amazing video of you revisiting the hospital where you were an inpatient and singing for them. Would you share that story with the listeners?
So I have... I guess it started honestly from when I was in a hospital. I was in the eating disorder unit. I remember seeing a few girls after a while that came back when they were healthy. And I always thought about whether I would might do that one day. So I guess when I left, there was a tiny part of me that wanted to go and show everybody that I'd made it and that I was still healthy, because a lot of people relapse when they have mental health problems. But recently, it took me 11 years I was in my house and I was thinking, I really wish I could help people that are going through mental health problems and make them realize how special they are and that they need to go and find their purpose in life and pursue that. And so then it was, I'm going to go and email the old hospital, I'm going to see if they'll let me come in and see them. So that's how I ended up going there, and it was quite a special moment for me to go back to see that place where I spent so much time, and I was a different person in a way, and a lot younger, and I was through such a challenging time, and now I'm this music star traveling around the world and pursuing such a different a passion with so much energy.
And how did you feel sort of pulling up there and walking back through those doors?
It was very surreal. It wasn't really how I imagined it, to be honest. Even now, like, I'm 28 and it's 11 years ago since I actually left the place healthy. I still have nightmares or dreams, you know, like you do sometimes. You go back to your childhood and things.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It was such a profound time of my life, I still dream about it quite often. So I guess my dreams, and also the hospital had changed a little bit, and the ways that they run it and the staff and the how many patients, they have a lot less patients there now, so it was very different. But I was quite nervous and quite emotional because I so much wanted to make a difference to those people that I was going to see and share my story of how I'm now a professional singer and I'm traveling around the world and singing with celebrities and, you know, pursuing this passion that they can to also do that.
And how was it received? What was the sort of feedback from staff and patients alike?
The staff were very, I don't know, I think they were quite shocked. And a little bit reassuring, like they wanted to make sure, like, have you actually, has it been, is it a challenge, is it a challenge? And I don't know whether this is, well, the answer that they wanted, or, but no, I don't really struggle with food anymore. And I didn't since that time, because I found a reason for living and a purpose that I could make a difference. So it just went. I didn't know it was a phase. And you can get through that. You know, if you've got challenges in life, no matter how long you've had them for, you've still got that chance. And even people that want to achieve something in business or change their career and things, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can always achieve great things. Because people like J.K. Rowling, for example, the author of Harry Potter, she apparently was rejected thousands of times by every publisher. Nobody would publish her Harry Potter book series. Then when one person did, because she had that persistence and belief in that, look who she is now, a multi-billionaire and reaching people's hearts in such a magical way. And the same applied to the guy, Colonel Sanders, who invented KFC, and also Steve Jobs of Apple Music. They've all been rejected. And Colonel Sanders was in his 60s. I think he was about 65 when he finally broke out, and somebody said, yeah, I'll help you with your chicken recipe and I'll make a franchise out of it. So you can change every aspect of your life at any moment, and that's how powerful people are. That's the reality of it, I found.
And that, like you say, that we've all got that ability. We've all got that ability. We've all got that sort of sixth sense, or that something that we can contribute. And you mentioned there purpose and reason, and those two words, or that sort of encompassed together, purpose and reason, is what we should all look to cultivate within us and find and uncover. And that's when we can apply that determination and drive. And then I suppose, you know, a bit like you know with your singing as well, then it becomes right for us. That's the sort of the fuel that drives us forward, that fires the engine, that keeps going. And then we worry less about what the world is expecting of us so much, because we know what we're expecting of ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. I think you can't judge another person, and you can't tell them what's right for them, and you can't have someone else tell you what's right for you either. Because they don't know. Only you really know. I think everyone knows inside of ourselves who we are and what we want to do. And I think you're guided when you allow it to come in. You're guided and you're kind of told what is right for you from some higher energy or some power, whatever you want to believe, label that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the listeners are in for a bit of a treat, because actually we have got a third song from you as well. And I think this is quite a good time to play this now. So this is Gemma's new track, See the Light, which I think is quite nice to bring this in now. And when we come back, Gemma will share with us her sort of advice, suggestions, tips about what we can do to bring us that little bit closer to happiness and a more balanced life, based on everything that she's been through, what she's learned, and how she lives her life as well. So I'm James Rose. This is The Happiness Algorithm. This is my guest's third track. This is Gemma Louise Dawes' third track, See the Light.
You with me. Phoenix FM.
Welcome back to the Happiness Algorithm with me, James Roast. That was See the Light by my guest today, Gemma Louise Doyle. And that was your new track, is that right? Yeah, that's your new one?
Yeah, that's the one that I actually recorded as an inspiration when I did go to revisit the people when I felt that I wanted to help people that do have mental health problems. And so that was written specifically for that purpose, to help people see the light inside themselves.
Another amazing song and lovely lyrics that run with it as well. And I'm sure many will connect with that. Before we sort of share what others can bring into their life and to see that light, as it were, if you pardon the pun, let's inform the listeners how they can follow you, how they can engage with you on the various platforms that you're on at the minute.
Yeah, so I am all day, every day, sharing things from my heart to help everyone around the world to see the light inside themselves. And I do have a website with a page of inspirational messages on there. Sometimes I share things that I found or things that come to me or things that are helpful, videos and words and messages. That's on my website if you search for Gemma Louise Doyle. And I also put things on Instagram, and I'm creating new music and videos on YouTube. There's quite a variety of different things on YouTube. I'm also doing some live home concerts at the moment. So if anybody's interested, I will be doing some more live streaming. You can connect with me through Facebook for that. That's probably easiest. Or if you go into my website, there's a page where you can email me, and I'll keep you updated on all those things. But feel free to search my name in all different places, Spotify as well, if you want to listen to music and receive all of what I'm putting out there for you.
Lovely. And what does what does the future hold for you, Gemma? But I suppose, like all of us, we're not sure what the future holds from one day to the next or one week to the next at the minute with the current climate we're living in. But
virus situation, yeah.
Yeah, it's a topsy-turvy world that we're living in. But ideally, you know, what's the next 12 to 18 months mapped out? You touched on it earlier that a lot of what's important in your world and what other people can take a lot from is about having goals and aspirations and you know, moving towards things. What does the next 12 to 18 months, what would you like it to look like for you?
I'm really open to all opportunities. I want to do as much as I can to reach people and make a difference to their hearts and lives through music and through my message and who I am as a music artist. I'd love to keep performing for all kinds of events, charity events and weddings and birthdays. I love to really uplift people and get everyone in a good feeling on the dance floor or to sing a beautiful song that's emotional and sentimental to them. I'm also finding composers and different people to collaborate with, and I'm open to all different collaborations to create more music, and I want to get more out there for listeners, new music and everything out there. And I'd love to be able to tour and sell out concerts. That's my dream, but you have to build it up yourself. And so I'm going to find a team that maybe will help me to achieve that.
And I'm sure it won't be long before you are doing that, because I think that, you know, as we've seen and the listeners have heard on today's show, you have got some real drive and determination, and that, you know, rings true and rings through this episode. It's interesting because I think that we now, as we touched on a minute ago, we are in a time where the world is a little bit bent out of shape, and actually people can really begin to connect with what's important to them and perhaps unlock that part of themselves that they've not seen or touched on before and see what talents they do possess, whether it be music, singing or artist or whatever it may be. And I think now is a really, really good time to reflect and explore self. So I'd encourage all people to do that. Gemma, for the listeners of the Happiness Algorithm, and you know where it is, all things mental health, emotional well-being, and what we can do to make ourselves that little bit happier, what would you encourage people to do?
So first of all, like I said, is to find ways to remind yourself of that infinite power that we all have inside of us, and remember how other people feel is not a reflection of you as a person, and whatever's happened in the past, that's not a reflection of you. To focus on the way that you are very powerful, in that you can create whatever you want in your life, as long as it's for the good, and it's going to bring about good things in the world. If you are negative, however, that will bring more negativity into your life. If you choose to be happy, because only you can make yourself happy, and we are all individually responsible for our own happiness, then you will have a better life, and you will find that better things happen for you, and good things, relationships can strengthen, and you really can change anything that you want to as well. Ways that you can do this through are taking the time to reflect and have a clear mind, and remember that we're in this infinite, abundant universe, which is eternal. There's eternal light, and there's power out there. You don't know what is going to happen in the world. Anything can happen at any time. You can read, you can do exercise. Exercise, nobody really likes it. Most people don't like exercise, but it releases chemicals in your body. As long as you are not underweight, then exercise is very good for you. You can paint, you can read books, you can play football, you can sing, you can dance, all of these things. And also find what you enjoy doing individually, and focus on that, and also people that you can make a difference to in their lives, whether you're looking after family or you are connecting or you're building a business. Lots of different things that you can do in life.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Gemma. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I know we've been waiting for quite some time to get you on the show, because you are based Manchester and we're based down here in the south. And so, you know, through this time of adversity, you know, that we're all living in at the minute, there is good that comes out of it. And as I say, the positive has been that we've been able to connect and get this show finally done and put to where. So I just hope that everyone has enjoyed it as much as I have. I think what you've shared will resonate with a lot of people. I will be following your career and your music and watching everything you're doing in the future, as I'm sure many other listeners will be. And I wish you all the very best for the future and to be safe in this difficult period as well. So thank you all for listening to another episode of the Happiness Algorithm. We'll hand over to Tom to see what he thinks.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
Thank you very much. I will leave you with something before we go today, actually, because as Gemma was talking, it actually reminded me of a John Lennon quote that I'll do it a disservice now, and I'll have to paraphrase it. But he says something along the lines of, when he was 5 years old, his mum told him that the R, or the key to life, was being happy, was happiness. And when he went to school, a teacher asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he put down happy. She said to him, "I don't think you understand the question." And he said to her, "I don't think you understand life." I've been James Roast. This has been the Happiness Algorithm. My special guest today has been Gemma Louise Doyle. We'll be back next week with another great guest, more great music. Be safe, be well, and be happy.
Trees are singing along with me. I'm just looking for happy. Sunrise lights my smiley face clock, sliding in my socks. I pour my first cup of tea. I'm just looking for happy. If you open your heart, you will see there's a million little opportunities. Looking for happy. Comfy chair, pages where wizards and knights have magical fights as the rain taps so tepidly. Looking for happy. In the sand, your head on my shoulder, drinking the moment the sun falls into the sea. I'm just looking for happy. Yeah, I'm just looking for happy.
Phoenix FM.